Well, we made it to the election of Jesus Christ, and ones we've already looked at have been election of believers within Israel. That was the last one. And then the election of the nation of Israel was the next one before that. And beginning in this whole word study of election and chosen was the election of the 12. So we have two more. So we have two more, the election of Christ Jesus, and finally then the election of the church. The election of Christ shows differences as well as similarities to the other elements of election at which we've already looked. Let's go to Isaiah 41, verse 8. It says, "But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, descendant of Abraham, my friend." You'll notice there that the chosenness of Israel is linked with the servanthood of Israel. There are other places we can go to. Let's, for example, go to 1 Chronicles 16:13. Sorry, it takes me a little bit of time to get there, just like it does you. 1 Chronicles 16:13 says, "O seed of Israel, his servant, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones." And Psalm 89:3. Psalm 89:3. "I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David my servant." And then in verse 19, same chapter, "Once you spoke in a vision to your godly ones and said, I have given help to the one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from my people." Well, that's pretty specific, I would say, with us looking back at it from where we are. That, of course, refers to the servant, and I would say even the suffering servant. If you don't know what that is, we'll talk about that in just a minute. And then Psalm 105, verse 6 and verse 42 and 43. "O seed of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones." Again, we're talking about the connection between chosenness and servanthood. And we have been talking about that earlier, too, especially when we talked about the apostles. But look in that same chapter, Psalm 105:42. "And he remembered his holy word with Abraham, his servant." And then verse 43, "And he brought forth his people with joy, his chosen ones with a joyful shout." That's a parallelism that's consistent with Hebrew. Isaiah 65:15 is another place that shows this connection, pardon me, between chosenness and servanthood. Says, "You will leave your name for a curse to my chosen ones, and the Lord God will slay you, but my servants will be called by another name." Now, I recognize that we may not be readily apparent to you what we were just talking about, but it's not really proof texting, but what we were trying to do is show the connection in Scripture between servanthood and chosenness, and those are linked strongly in all those verses that we just read. You'll have to look at them a little bit more, probably at length later on. But then in mentioned the suffering servant, and one of the suffering servant songs is Isaiah 42. You'll notice here that the Messiah, just like Israel, was chosen to do a task. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations, and so on. He was chosen to be the suffering servant. There are four of these suffering servant songs. Another one you can see in Isaiah 49. The idea is repeated there. It is this calling or chosenness to do a task that we're trying to emphasize. 49:5 particularly says, "And now, says the Lord, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength." Verse 6 is also equally helpful. He says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light to the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Well, that came up Sunday night, I remember, in the discussion that we were having. It's not just enough to restore Israel, but it is that the suffering servant is sent to the Gentiles as well. We were looking for places where the Scripture said that, and here it is right in front of us, and Isaiah 49:6. Now, although Messiah is chosen for a task, the idea of selection is not here. It is in all the other places that we've spoken about already. Selection is a part of being chosen. You're select from among a group. So, in the case of Jesus, however, the Messiah, chosen for a task, does not include the idea of selection. Chosen refers to function, not selection, from among possible candidates. There was no one else to select from for this role that Jesus was to fulfill in being chosen by God to do that. No one else was good enough to pay the price for sins on behalf of sinners. It's just not possible for any other person who is not God, who is not sinless, who does not live a sinless life on the earth as Jesus did in human, as a human. I was going to say in human form, but I know that's a heresy. So here's what I need to introduce. It is this close connection between chosen, eklektos, and the idea of being beloved, agapetos, with reference to Jesus. This is very important because it fits only him, but it also is something that is extended to the people of God, as you'll probably see later. I think we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1 a little bit. But there is a connection, a very close connection, between being chosen and being beloved, or agapetos versus eklektos. The gospel writers make this most clear during the transfiguration of Christ. In Matthew It says in chapter 17, verse 15, "This is my beloved son." This is the agapetos, beloved, and it's also beloved in the New American Standard. Then in Mark, beloved son is in Mark 9:7, which is the other account of the transfiguration. The actual text says, "Ho agapetos," or "the beloved." King James translation of that is "beloved." New American Standard version is "beloved." But in Luke 9:35, there's a little bit of a change. In the actual New Testament Greek text, it says, "Ho And I have my coffee, too. Anyhow, it uses the word eklektos as opposed to agapetos. So, eklelegemonos. The word there is chosen, but the King James translates it as beloved. And in the New American Standard, it's translated chosen, which is correct. So, even in the minds of the translators, that's what I'm trying to point out here, there is a really close connection between chosenness, eklektos, and being beloved, agapetos. Notice also Matthew's rendering of 42:1, which was again that first suffering servant song. The the first one is 42:1-7. The second suffering servant song, just so you'll have these, is 49:1-7. The third is 50, Isaiah 50, 4-11. All these are in Isaiah. The fourth one is 52:13-53:12. So the Hebrew reads, "Behold my servant, I will support him, my chosen, in whom delights my soul." Now, none of the verses that we just read, Matthew 17:5 and Mark 9:7, Luke 9:35, woodenly follows the Hebrew text in each quote that they have recorded in their gospel. For whatever reason, Matthew and Mark have the voice out of the cloud loosely quoting Isaiah 42:1, using beloved as a term that signifies both chosenness and being a delight. The Hebrew, "in whom my soul delights," in that context. Luke opts for, or chooses for, the chosen one, which is mistranslated in the King James Version, which seems to be an attempt to harmonize all three. Regardless, we can easily see an integral relationship, or one standing for the other with regard to Jesus, of the two terms in meaning when they're applied to Jesus. In other words, chosen is a synonym for beloved when it's applied to Jesus. a note on Matthew 12:18. Let's go there real quickly. Matthew 12:18 says, "Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, whom my soul, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit on him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. And then the rest of the quote goes down into verse 21. So that is a quote of Isaiah 42, 1 through 3. Verse 18 shows the synonymous connection or nature of being beloved and chosen also. And even between the idea of being a servant chosen to that role. And even though Matthew employs a rarely used word, hieratizo, which means to take up or to choose, we can, instead of eklektos, that is, we can still see the close connection between the two ideas in spite of Matthew's free rendering of Isaiah 42, 1 through 3. In verse 18, the word pais, and in also in 42:1, ebed, which is unambiguously servant, can also be translated son or child, and that's also significant. I'm hoping this makes sense to you. We're almost finished here. Only three other verses in the New Testament speak of Christ's chosenness. In two of them, the connection with belovedness is remarkable. One of those places is 1 Peter 2 and verses 4 and 6. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice, or chosen, or elect, and precious in the sight of God. Precious and beloved are also synonymous. Then in verse 6 of that same chapter, 1 Peter 2, 6. For this is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a chosen stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. Precious again, beloved. The other example is in Luke chapter 23. In verse 35, and the people stood by looking on, and even the rulers were sneering at him. He saved others, let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one. In both of these two places, Luke 23:35 and 1 Peter 2:4 and 6, doubly linked is election and the preciousness to the Father of the Lord Jesus. We will find this information invaluable as we notice the same link between chosen and beloved when we look at the election of the church in the next section. If this wasn't crystal clear to you, listen to it again. And pay attention to the passages that we just looked at. And it will become more clear, I'm almost positive, in the next section where we will be looking at the election of the church in that Ephesians 1 passage, where the connection between election, chosenness, and beloved or preciousness is clearly spelled out. So, until then, until I see you again, hopefully it'll be on Christmas morning this year. That is, Lord willing, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.